Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Today I want to bring you one last example as we bring this series to a close about how Jesus came to set you free. Now, as we've said all along, the greatest thing that Jesus came to set us free from was the prison of sin. Make no mistake, that is the greatest freedom that he brought. But I'm here to declare to you that Jesus also came to set you free from the illusion of safety that we call control. Jesus came to set you free from this thing called control. You see, far too many of us are living exactly like that prisoner. We mistake control for comfort and safety. When the truth is, control is just a beautifully decorated cell. Control is just a beautifully decorated cell, just like that prisoner. Got you thinking this morning? Am I talking to somebody yet? See, our desperate need to control every aspect of our lives is an illusion that leads to exhaustion, anxiety, and spiritual depletion. Let me say that again. My desperate need to control every aspect of our life is just an illusion. And all it does is exhaust us, get us anxious, and cause us to become spiritually depleted. We operate under the false belief that if we can just manage, manipulate, and plan enough, that somehow it's all just going to go like we want it to go. Anybody here? Am I talking to someone today? Trying to control every aspect of your life is much like riding a roller coaster. You got any roller coaster riders? If you've either ridden one or you've seen it. Now, when you get in that roller coaster, even if you haven't, you're going to know what I'm talking about because you've seen it. You get in that roller coaster and you grab that bar. Now, here's the thing about a roller coaster. No matter how hard you grab that bar, it's not going to change the track and it's not going to change the drops of the roller coaster. You can grab that thing as hard as you want. It's not going to change the track. It's not going to change the drops. All it's going to do is exhaust your hands so you can't enjoy the ride. That's what control is like. You're grabbing on, thinking, well, I can steer the car, I can steer this, and all you're doing is exhausting yourself. Yeah. Here's the truth about control. There is really only one person in control, and it is not you. Look at what Proverbs says. Proverbs 16:9 says this, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." And if you go to Matthew 6:27, Jesus said, "Can any one of you worrying add one single hour to your life?" That's what Jesus said about this thing called control and worry. You see, we make plans, we build walls in our hearts about perfectionism, routines, and worry in an attempt, here's what we're trying to do, to keep pain and fear out. That's what we're really trying to do when we say we want to control things. But the truth is that these same walls that we put up can actually keep out God's provision, God's guidance, God's direction. Do you see why control is a problem? Our hearts may want to plan and control the way, but if we will learn to trust God, he's got a lot better paths to take us on than we could ever come up on our own. That's what Proverbs was trying to tell us there. He will lead us into the best paths, not just the ones we want to go down. The roller coaster called life can be, hear me now, that this roller coaster we call life can become joyful and actually peaceful when we learn to open our hands, release and loosen our grip, and trust the designer of the track. You can actually have that in your life as you learn to release control. Now, if we don't have control, what should we have? Because what I'm going to introduced to you today, is there something actually far better than control for your life? Far better. It's going to give you more freedom. It's going to build more relationship with you and God and you and others, by the way. The better thing than control is influence. The better thing than control is influence. What I've come here today to tell you, the big idea is this, that influence is better than control. You see, influence seeks to guide and shape and affect outcomes. Control seeks to determine and guarantee outcomes. Do you see the difference between influence and control? My friends, Jesus is calling you to grab onto influence and let go of control. He's calling us to grab onto influence, let go of control. Listen, the God of the universe already holds the world in his hands. Okay? He's already got it all. He controls when the sun comes up. He controls when the stars come out. He controls the days of your life and your very last breath. So you see, there's already someone in control. And his name is God. And it's not you. And it's not me. Today in Jesus' name, God is calling us to let go of control. And I'm going to show you two life-changing ways that if you will go from control to influence, your life will never be the same. I get these things, when you get this idea of influence is better than control, you're going to see how your life becomes more free, how your relationship becomes better with God and better with others. You ready for the first? I'm going to give you two. All we need is two today. All we need is two. It ain't 3 points in a poem today. It's just two. The first one is this. Influence is better than control because influence respects free will, but control demands obedience. Now listen up. Let me illustrate this for you in the beginning of the Bible. The book of Genesis will be in chapter 2. This is what it says, and God is talking to Adam here, verses 15 and 17. It says, the Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. Now listen, right after this, God creates Eve out of Adam's rib, okay? And so knowing that, as part of that, God says the two shall now be one. So that means everything he had just told Adam now applies to Eve as well, right? The two shall become one. So every word he spoke to Adam also applies to Eve. That's important to remember because when you go to Genesis 3, the next part of the story, let's read the interaction now between the serpent, our enemy, and Eve. This is what it says. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Let's look at what we just read. Let's go back to the garden. Here we have the God of the universe, the creator of everything, proposing a choice. Everybody say a choice. A choice. He said, look, I've provided everything you're ever going to need. In fact, I provided all the fruit you will ever need. I'm just saying there's one fruit that you're not supposed to eat. That's what he said, right? And what he did is he very honestly shared the truth of you want to live, do this. But he also shared the consequences. If you choose to eat this fruit, this is what is going to happen. Okay? Now listen, You have to get this. God knows everything, and he actually really is in control of everything, right? God really is in control of everything. So get this concept. The God who can control everything chose to give you and I the ability to choose. Think about that. The God who absolutely can control everything, he chose not to. What he chose to do was give you and I a choice. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This concept of free will, you find throughout the rest of the Bible. I'm going to give you just a few examples. They're on your screen. Go back and look them up. Deuteronomy. God goes before the people and lists blessings and curses. And what he says is, look, these are the blessings you can have. He lays it out, much like he did in the Garden of Eden. If these are the blessings you can have if you will accept my invitation, if you will live this way. And he also says, and if you choose not to, these are the curses you can expect in your life. Speaking to the people then, okay? Jesus came to remove curses, by the way. Just understand that. Yet there's still consequences for us choosing God or not choosing God. It's been from the beginning. Joshua, some of you probably have this on a plaque in your house. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You see, this idea of choice is throughout the Bible. Jesus constantly and consistently invited people to follow him. He did not demand that they follow him. You see, God's always been about choice. He's never, even though he could, he's never been about control. He's always been about choice. Because here's the thing you have to remember about influence. Influence is about invitation. Say that with me. Influence is about invitation. It always has been. It has been from God to you and I. And as we influence others, it's the same thing. Now, let's go back to our story in Genesis. What did the enemy do? What did the enemy do? He used lies and manipulation to try and control the narrative. How many times have we heard that before? I just want to control the narrative. We hear it on the news. We hear it. Control the narrative. Well, controlling the narrative started back in the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. The enemy was trying to control the narrative. He was trying to convince Eve of something for his own selfish desires. He didn't care about Eve. He hated Eve. He hated Adam because God had created them both. He didn't have Eve's best interest in mind. The serpent only wanted his way. He tried to make the case, two things. He tried to make the case that if you don't do this, you're not going to get something good. And he also said, and if you do this, there are no consequences. You see, he lied on both ends. He lied on, in every, he's the father of lies. He said, now, if you don't eat that fruit, you're not going to know. You know, it's FOMO. You're going to be missing out. And they said, but if you eat it, it's no big deal. You're not going to die. You see, what he was doing was he was manipulating the situation. Here's what you can count on when you see the spirit of control show up. Its three cousins are also going to show up. Lies, manipulation, and fear. Wherever there is control, you're going to see the three cousins of control show up. Lies, manipulation, and fear. And Satan tried to use all of those against Eve. That's why, hear me clearly, that's why control is at its core demonic. I said it and I will say it again. Control at its core is demonic. It started in the garden. It has not changed since. Anytime you are trying to control somebody, I am trying to control somebody, we are operating with the father of lies. I'm just being as honest as I can be. We are falling into that trap every time we try to exercise control. That's scary. I hope someone's waking up. Because I needed to wake up. You see, God chooses, has always chosen influence over control because he loves us and he actually wants what's best for us. That's why he actually gives us this free choice. Because part of any relationship has to be freedom. There is no real relationship without freedom to choose, right? You didn't choose your spouse or your friend or whatever with someone holding a gun to your head. You chose them because you wanted to. There was influence there for whatever reason. You chose them because you liked them, you liked how they talk, whatever it was. But you were free to choose them. There you can have a real relationship. That's why God gives us the freedom. The other thing about God that we notice in this story and throughout, God does not lie. Listen, he tells the complete truth about everything. He says, this is what you can have if you choose my invitation, but this is what is awaiting you if you choose not to, but the choice is ours. God's never sent one person to hell, ever. God has never himself sent anyone to hell. Someone may have chosen that path, but that's why we have free will. We have free choice. There is no relationship without choice. Influence. God has always sought to influence us through his Son, through his Holy Spirit. God is always calling us and inviting us. Now, some might say, well, Pastor, isn't there something in the Bible called commandments? I mean, that sounds a lot like control to me. And when I hear that word commandment, that sounds a lot like control. In fact, some of your friends, you might even thought, man, God's always telling us what not to do. These dang commandments just keep getting in the way. I mean, that sounds a lot like control. But my friends, God's commandments are the farthest thing from control. His goal in showing us how to live is for our benefit. God gives us the way to live because he loves us, not because he's trying to control us. Come on. And the sooner the believer or anybody gets that in here and in here, then you can really understand the purpose of the commandments. It wasn't to keep us down or have us not be able to have fun, whatever people say. Well, the commandment, I just can't do. No, the commandments were protective. They were loving. God's word is protective. It's loving. It's an invitation into the life he's called us to live. God doesn't want to restrict you. Actually, Jesus said, I came to bring an abundant life for you. Not some limited life. Jesus wants an abundant life for us, and we get that when we choose him. When we choose him. When you choose to let the influence of God into your life, on your life will change. Your life will change. Throughout the Old Testament, God sent prophets to influence, to speak to us about his desire for our lives. And in the New Testament, God sent Jesus to show us what a life under the influence of God looks like. If you look at Jesus' life, he was constantly and consistently choosing to be under the influence of God. If you look at his life, that's when, besides coming to set you free for your sin, in addition, Jesus' life shows us what it looks like to live a life under the influence of God's direction and guidance. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he chose to do that. He didn't have to. I want you to get that. Jesus chose to go. In the Garden of Gethsemane, probably the defining moment of his entire, if you boil it down to his entire mission on earth, the Garden of Gethsemane is a defining moment when Jesus cries out to God, listen, if there's any other way to do this, let me know now. But his final words are this, but your will, Father, be done. You see, even then, Jesus had a choice. Jesus always had a choice. And so do you and I. That's why his life is so beautiful to examine, because it shows us what living a life under God's influence looks like. What it looks like. Let me ask you some questions. What areas of your life are you trying to control the narrative and the outcomes in, instead of just trying to influence them? Influence can be a good thing, my friends. Control cannot. What relationships are you trying to control? Instead of offering an invitation to your point of view, inviting someone in to maybe see how you see things and then listening to how they see things, instead of forcing them to act the way that you want them to. And most importantly, giving yourself and them the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose. God gives you the freedom to choose. And when you do, your life will be blessed. When you choose to listen to his influence, when you choose to have his influence affect your life will be blessed. It will be better. It will be transformed. His word says it, and I believe his word. Now, here's the thing. When you choose to use influence instead of control with others in your life, you will see similar results. Not that you can save them. What's going to happen, though, is when you try to influence people instead of try to control them, it's going to improve your relationship with them. Because they know they have freedom. They know they have freedom to agree with you or to not agree with you, but they know you're coming from a place of truth and honesty and not a place of control. Can anyone here see how that would help relationships in your life? Whether it be a spouse, a friend, a family member, I'm telling you, you can take that concept and use it in any relationship, and it's going to improve your relationship. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I pray that someone receives that today. Amen? Amen? All right, now here's the other reason that I want to give you today why influence is so much better than control. Influence leaves the results to God, but control leads to anxiety and fear. Let me say that again. Influence is better than control. Because influence leaves the results to God, where control leads to fear and anxiety. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verses 6 through 8 says this, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both, hear me now, both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Here's what Paul was writing, though. Here's the big idea. He's speaking here about the importance of planting, because planting is important, without the pressure to produce the harvest. You see, that's really what Paul is saying, is planting is important. I'm going to plant, Apollos is watering, but we're not responsible for the harvest. So planting is important. We ought to plant without the pressure of trying to bring the harvest, because bringing the harvest ain't your job. It ain't my job. But planting is, but watering is. Got to get that, because there ain't no harvest without planting and watering, right? Any farmers in here? You don't have a harvest unless you plant a seed, you water it, you do what you can to take care of it. But God's got to bring the sun. God's got to bring the other things, and ultimately God brings the harvest. But you got to do your part. That's the planting and watering. That's what Paul is saying. It's important, but don't get caught up in the harvest yet. It's not your job. God will grow you as you allow his influence to rest in you and on you. And you can help shape and influence the lives of others as you show them who God is and how God is working in your life. That's what planting and watering is about. So you can have an influence. God's calling you to have an influence. You can invest in others by listening to them and not trying to control the conversation. How many people you're talking, you're like me, my ADD brain, I'm always thinking about the next thing I'm going to say while I'm trying to, I could do a lot better investing my influence by shutting my mouth and my mind for a minute and listening to somebody. How about you? So that's a way you can influence relationships. You can live a life of influence by sharing with others what God has done in your life. That's a form of influence. You can be honest about your own flaws. Hey, I'm messed up. And here's the beautiful message. When you share your flaws and you show how God's still able to use you, heal you, that gives someone else encouragement that God can do the same thing in their life. You see how you can be an influence. You can be an influence. Listen up. You need to hear this. You have been called. Every single believer has been called to be an influencer. period. And I ain't talking about no TikTok weird social media hype, self-grandizing, promoting influencer. That ain't what I'm talking about. Okay? No, you are called by God to be an influencer for his kingdom. Every believer, not just someone on this stage. No. Every believer has been called to be an influencer for Christ, period. He has called you and I to impact outcomes. That's what an influencer does. They help impact and shape outcomes. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't say control outcomes. An influencer helps shape, helps influence, invests in. That's what planting means. That's what watering means. But what he has not called you to do, what he has not given you the responsibility to do, is to determine outcomes. You or I. That's God's job, not ours. Listen, you can influence a heart, but you can't change it. Anybody here know that? I hope if you haven't figured that out yet, I don't know how many years you've been alive yet. You can influence somebody's heart, and you ought to try. But you cannot change it. Only God can do that. Listen, you can impact a relationship by what you sow into it, by how you listen, all the things we just talked about. You can plant a seed in a relationship, but only God can bring the growth that can lead to restoration of that relationship. You can't do that. So quit wearing yourself out trying to control something that you can't control. The sooner you get that, I don't know how many years it took me to start getting that. I went through a lot of grabbing bars. What about you? My hands got real tired. Learned to let go. Learned to put the harvest in the hands of the one who says he will bring the harvest. Jesus said the harvest is great, but the workers are few. See, that's our part, is that's the watering and planting. God wants workers. He wants us invested in the kingdom. But he's going to bring the harvest. Not you and I. I hope someone's getting that today. Here's the problem, though. We want to see stuff happen. We want to see stuff happen the way we want it. We want to see people change the way we want them to change. Pastor Petey, if you'll come. And when you notice that start creeping up, that's the beginning of control, my friends. When you start projecting what you want to see, how you want it done, in terms of people's lives, your expectations for them, or just how you want even your own life to go, and you start down that path and that thinking, grabbing that bar, you are on the road to control. And when that happens, oftentimes that brings anxiety. If that happens to you, the next time I want you to open up Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to read this, I want you to believe this, and I want you to live this. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about what? Anything. This goes beautifully with a lot of what Pastor Petey was saying during the prayer time. I promise he didn't know anything about this message today. You see how God was already, Pastor Petey kind of preached this already to us today, right? That means God was already working on our hearts. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, yes, plant. Yes, water. That's what influence is all about. But if you don't see the harvest right away, don't worry about that. God has it under control. God's got it. God is still working even if you can't see him working. We have a Heavenly Father who wants what is good. Believe me, God wants what is good for you. So yes, absolutely go to God with what you want. The scripture's clear. Jesus taught us how to pray as well. Go to God with what you'd like to see, but don't try and control the narrative with God. Hear me now. God ain't no genie in a bottle. God's not an ATM machine. Where there is freedom, there's relationship. Don't try and control an uncontrollable God. There's only one in control, and it ain't you. I think sometimes we get that backwards. We go to God with this laundry list of things that we want to see and how we want things to go. And but this scripture tells us is before you go to God with your laundry list, how about thanking him for all the things he's already done? God woke you up this morning. God's giving you the next breath that you have. God sent his son, his one and only son, to die for you. How about we start by thanking God for those things before we try and control the narrative with what we want to see happen? Prayer is about building a relationship. It's not a wish list. And there's nothing wrong with going to God. We've talked about it here. It's clear in Scripture. Nothing wrong with you going to God with your requests. He's a loving father. Another scripture says, what good father would give his son a stone when he really needs bread? God knows what you need. But this concept of influence. And by the way, it's not in my notes, but healthily, you know, keep in your mind, not demanding it, you know your prayers can influence God. And there's scriptures that prove this. One, I'll give you one just real quick. There's a king named Hezekiah one time who was one of the rare kings in the Old Testament that actually did what God wanted. He wasn't perfect. He had his own issues. But there was a point in his life where he asked God for 14 more years of life. Now, God's in control. God had whatever number for King Hezekiah already in his heart, mind, whatever. But he agreed to extend his life for 14 years. Now, listen, this is where we have to be careful, because we have to be really careful that influence doesn't become control again. Just because you ask God something, he is not obliged to do it. Okay, now, as long as you approach your prayer with that mindset, with that heart, you're good. But I just want to encourage you that your prayers influence God. If nothing else, they influence the relationship. That's the most important. They influence the relationship that you have with God. And I hope you take that to heart today. I hope you take that to heart today. Let the one who is in control of the entire universe guard your heart and your mind. If you'll approach him like this, that's exactly what he'll give you a peace, the word says, that's beyond your understanding. You have no idea why you're as peaceful as you are, because from the worldly perspective, you shouldn't be. That's the peace you can get when you let God's love influence you, and you're changed by it. I hope you receive that today. In Jesus' name, I pray that you do. Listen, Jesus came to free you from this prison cell of control, from the cell of holding on so tight that you can't enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Let go of control and grab onto influence instead. The influence of God, and then use influence in your relationships with others. Jesus came to set you free from your sins and set you free from this demonic illusion called control. Don't let that false sense of safety and security called control take control of your life. Instead, choose influence every single time. I pray that you believe that today and that you receive that in Jesus' name. Now pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for sending your Son to set us free from our sins and from everything in our life. And God, thank you for sending Jesus to set us free from this demonic thing called control. Jesus, when he first started his ministry, said, "I've come to set the captives free." And we are so grateful that he did just that. So God, help us to trust you with everything in our life. Because God, we know that you will order our steps far better than we ever could by trying to control our steps on our own. God, lead us, establish us, guide us, help us to trust you in that. And God, thank you for sending Jesus to show us what a life under your control truly can be. What a blessed life it is. What a beautiful life it is when we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us as you've sent him to do. And Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for the influence that you bring. The word says that you will teach us and remind us of everything Jesus ever said and ever taught. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for the influence that you are in our life. May we be open to that influence, receptive to it, so that we can live the life that God has called us to live. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.